America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We are always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980 as well. And I don't know, for some reason I'm not getting sound on that. So that's really great. Hey YouTube. That's something just happened. We just turn the volume up. We all good? All right. Now I think we're working now, which is great. All right. Today on the show, we got the latest on Jaden Daniels' injury, which is not great. He did not practice again today. We will obviously continue to, figure out what's going on there as the week goes on. And Dan Quinn had said, hey, I'll have the latest update on Friday. So at this point, we're just kind of waiting for DQ. But at the end of the day, it looks, Anthony, like we're going to be seeing Marcus Mariota coming up this weekend for the Commanders. So you'll hear Cliff Kingsbury in just a moment on that. Also coming up today, we will have the last of our Wizards preseason interviews because, well, we're out of days until the Wizards play. That's why, if you're watching on YouTube, you see me here at Capital One Arena. See behind me, there's 6th Street right there. In front of me, there's an arena with lots of T-shirts on seats ready for a season opener. And you will hear from one of the keys to the Wizards season, Jordan Poole, coming up at 4:30. You will hear from head coach Brian Keefe coming up at 5:30. And then to close the show today, my conversation with Wizards general manager Will Dawkins. So lots of good stuff coming here on the Team 980. Let's start, though, with Cliff Kingsbury and the Commanders offensive coordinator today talking about how he's kind of preparing this week and what needs to happen if Marcus Mariota's playing, on how Marcus played last time. But let's start off if there's any changes if Marcus Mariota is the starting quarterback on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, DQ set up a great plan. I won't get into the details of it, but just to make sure that both guys are getting enough reps and getting a comfort level with the plays we're going to have in, that they can go operate. You know, Marcus hadn't taken a snap with our offense in 68 days prior to the game, and came in and performed really at a high level and made a bunch of plays. So that was good to see, and it takes a unique person and player to do that. And so we feel really good about trying to get him some reps this week, and we're just going to take it from there.
So, okay, got that. Excellent. Good to know. Hey, it's been a while. We got to figure it out. And I think that's actually an important note from Cliff Kingsbury. It's like, for as many reps as Marcus Mariota got in the spring when he was technically the number one guy and in the competition with Jaden, and for as many as they gave him in the summer to try to make sure they're prepared for situations like this, it had been a while. And I think also it took me a while covering the league to really understand just how specific game plans can be and tailored to quarterbacks. And so while there is a ton of crossover between Jaden Daniels and Marcus Mariota in terms of what you would want an offense to look like, you'd want a heavy feature on the zone read game. You would want, obviously a good running game to support them. You want to be able to get them on the move and use their athleticism. Both guys have quick releases, so like some of the screen game stuff is always really beneficial. There are really big, big, big important differences between how the two, or between the two, and how each plays quarterback that are essential to the Commanders maximizing Marcus Mariota versus how the offense installed for the game against Carolina looked for Jaden Daniels. And I think the biggest difference is how you would get each guy going. And the beauty of Jaden is he kind of does everything well in his own way. He has a very quick release. He's a great processor. He's very, very on rhythm. You know, we know that he is someone who has gotten the ball out of his hands at one of the fastest rates in the NFL. And it's not just because they're throwing all these screens and whatever. Like, he actually sees the game that quickly. And they have these really good quick game concepts that he's really comfortable throwing. Marcus is not a rhythm thrower. If you watch the game on Sunday, you know that. If you've went back and studied Marcus based off what he used to be, you know that as well. Marcus is a guy that is good at creating off schedule. I'm going to say good, not great. He's very capable of creating off schedule. It can ebb and flow a little bit. But he definitely wants to see it a little bit more before he throws it. The anticipation's not as high. And he's not this like rhythm passer that I think people would think maybe he was going to be coming out of Oregon because he got the ball out really quickly and, you know, all the things that he did with Chip up there. But just in the NFL, it's not this short game, quick rhythm type of stuff. I'd rather get him some isolation routes, let him play against some man-to-man situations, and see if I can create that kind of offense for Marcus when he's got a throw. And then obviously you have the run game that is going to be the main feature. So that, to me, is the biggest difference of the comparison between the two. Jaden, hey, how do we get him going? Let's get him some quick game stuff. Let's do all that. And I think you saw last week, the way to get Marcus Mariota going is run him. And so I'd expect a heavy dose of Brian Robinson early. I'd expect Jeremy McNichols and Austin Eckler on the field early. I'd expect some quarterback run early. I'd expect maybe some reverses, some stuff to kind of get the defense off track, but it is definitely a situation where the offense will be, you know, yes, it will be less optimal for the offense because they have to face the Chicago Bears instead of the Carolina Panthers. It will be more optimal for Marcus Mariota this week because the play calling will be geared, like the game plan will be geared towards him versus what it would be for Jaden Daniels out there. That said, Marcus played great on Sunday in so many ways. So how surprised was Cliff Kingsbury that his backup went out and led a 40-point outing?
No, just because I've seen the professionalism, I've seen the work he puts in, but you know, all those reps he was getting was just the scout team. You know, he's working the scout team, but you see the preparation. I saw how he operated in the spring, and it was basically like, hey, go do what you do. We weren't trying to hold him back or say, hey, play it safe. It was like, we're going to cut you loose, play fast, and go get after him. And that's what he does best. And I think he just embraced the moment. And he's only 30. He's still a tremendous talent. And, yeah, I think his best football is still ahead of him. I've told him that.
I mean, that's pretty significant from Cliff. Hey, your best football is still ahead of you. And I think that's how guys like Cliff, guys like Dan have inspired belief, is like they really pour into their guys in a major way. And so we'll see what they can do. I do also think that there is some truth to the fact that this is the first time Marcus has ever played in a system quite this tailored to his skill set. This is a guy that out of Oregon, like very, very highly touted, obviously Heisman Trophy winner, the whole deal, and then got stuck in a bunch of pro offenses. And he was under center and handing the ball off to Derrick Henry, which is, there are worse places to be as an NFL quarterback. But if you're trying to maximize the quarterback output, that's not necessarily how I would want to play that quarterback. Here he's going to be in the shotgun more. There's going to be some more spread. There's going to be some things that he's used to. And another one of kind of Cliff Kingsbury's superpowers is his ability to create space. And if you give Marcus these clean visual lanes, because there's a ton of space, pace on the field, especially against the Chicago defense that, for as good as it is, can be a little bit predictable at times. So if you can get in some good down and distances where you kind of know what their answer is going to be, they might play it well, but, you know, a cover three beater is going to beat cover three a lot. And there's going to be some space there. And so I think that is going to be really fun to watch and see how Marcus Mariota plays this weekend, assuming that he does. Again, this could all be for naught. We could have spent all this time on Marcus Mariota in hypothetical land, and then Jaden Daniels practices tomorrow, and he continues to heal because he's 23 years old. And when you're 23 years old, you heal a lot faster than, say, if you're 32. And then he's, you know, it's not a big deal. But I do think if Dan Quinn doesn't fully rule out Jaden tomorrow, I think we probably know by Saturday, because if they don't rule Jaden out, or if they're going to rule Jaden out, they're probably going to bring Sam Hartman back up off the practice squad, activate him for the week. And if he is not out, well, then Sam Hartman's not going to get activated. And Jaden, you know, maybe he's the emergency three, but like to me, it's like he either plays or he doesn't. There's no messing around on that. So that's where we're at. Latest from Command Land on Marcus Mariota. We can take a few calls if you want next, 301-230-0980. Then coming up at 4:30, Jordan Poole joins me on the Hoffman Show. Here's we're live at Capital One Arena on the Team 980, and always live as well on the free Odyssey app.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. This is good news, especially for the Craig Hoffman fantasy team, Anthony. Did you see the breaking news out of L.A.?
Puka's back.
Puka Nacua has been activated off IR, and he was not going to have a full slate of reps tonight against the Vikings, but the Rams feel good about his knee, and he'll play, so that's cool.
Uh-oh. You got Puka back. Cup is back. I don't know. I think we got to talk about this game. We got to make sure we get our pick in.
I mean, we could do that right now.
Okay.
If you wanted to. Now I got to look at my wide receiver. I'm like, do I want to? I mean, here's the thing about Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. With the way that Sean runs things down there,
uh-huh.
A light outing for them won't be a full slate of reps. Oh, so we'll only get 15 targets instead of 38? That's kind of how he rolls. By the way, for those that are listeners of the show every day, all day, and are awaiting to hear the news on Competition Wednesday, I did pick Anthony's fantasy sub.
Mm-hmm.
He had Joe Mixon in as a starting running back. By the way, Competition Wednesday, Anthony yesterday spun the wheel because he did not have a perfect week, unfortunately for him. I did. He 2-1, very valiant. I'm trying to do this as nicely as I can, Anthony. But you ultimately had to spin the wheel as it's still sitting there behind you. And it landed on fantasy sub. And so I get to make a sub on Anthony's fantasy team in our show league. And I had him sit Joe Mixon, who's going against his beloved Colts. So I'm actually helping you emotionally. As you don't have to, like, if Joe Mixon and Zaire are in the hole, you can now just wholeheartedly root for Zaire.
Yeah, I mean, that was going to be the thought. You know, when I play fantasy and my friends are involved, I'm more so trying to think of, I want them to go out there and do everything in their power, you know, put up the greatest numbers and still come out victoriously while all the same being, you know, whoever I have in my fantasy team still went off.
Yeah, that's not going to be possible when it's a running back and a linebacker. So I took that off the table for you, and you now have Nick Chubb starting at running back.
Which isn't bad.
There are worse things that could have done to you.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, you want to know what? That's not heinous.
Yeah. It's cool. It's cool with me.
Okay, that's good. All right, so I got Devontae. He can't like, he had 9 targets last week. He's not going to have, like, another poopsie fantasy week if Aaron Rodgers is going to throw him the ball 9 times, right?
Nope. Nah, he's going to have I think he's going to go off.
Okay. JJ. And then my flex is Romeo Doubs right now. Do I pull Puka off of IR for Romeo Doubs?
I think if you're playing, you're healthy.
It's kind of my thought.
Yeah.
But Doubs is also going against Jacksonville.
Yeah, so there's a chance, but they also have just so many young weapons out there.
That's a good point. All right, Puka.
Yeah, I will go with Puka.
You can, okay, so hold on. If I have to then make a lineup thing, can someone who's suspended go on IR? Because Jameson Williams is dumb butt or unlucky if he says that it's something that he can't believe that it happened to him. I gotta figure out how to do this. Who do I want to drop?
You can send him to me.
Jameson Williams?
Yeah.
I don't really want to, though.
Okay.
I don't know who I want to drop. I mean, I currently have 3 quarterbacks. The problem is I need this done by tonight. Anthony, tell you what. At 4:30, we're going to play our interview with Jordan Poole. And during that, if you want to submit a trade, that somehow we can figure, I guess, I don't know how I'm going to open up a roster spot with a trade. But
could be a 2-for-1.
Well, I would need to give up 2.
Exactly.
So you're going to have to give me someone good. But if we can figure it out. I mean, right now I got 3 quarterbacks that are pretty good. I got Caleb, I got Dak, and I got Justin Herbert.
Ah. We'll see.
Yeah. I got some stuff that I'm willing to give up. That I would package. I will say this. Anyone who's in our fantasy league that is listening right now, I'm open for business right now in a 2-for-1. You have to take the suspended Jameson Williams and someone else, and I want someone good in return. But I need to open up a roster spot for Puka Nacua, and I'm open for business. So it is a show fantasy league. I'm going to use the show to help the fantasy league here. Get your trade proposals in as soon as you can, and I'm going to try to make a decision in the next hour and change because, I want Puka Nacua on the field tonight. And I need to get this done. Is there a waiting process? Is this something that can happen instantly?
Yeah,
I don't remember how our league works.
You can push it through. You're the commissioner, so
that
you
is
can
true.
Push it through.
That is true. But that feels a little like cheating?
Not necessarily. I mean, it's good when other people have trades and you push them through right away as well, but
yeah, I'll try not to be a jerk about that. It's not my fault that Puka Nacua got activated 3 hours before the game.
Yeah.
That wasn't like floating to be happening. Right? All the talk was about Cooper Kupp, and now all of a sudden, here's Puka Nacua. I didn't miss a memo.
I mean, he caught everybody by surprise.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm open for business. That's what I'm gonna say. Jameson Williams plus someone else on my team for one of your really good players.
You want a Garrett Wilson?
Oof. I already have Devontae.
I know.
That would be, you know what that would honestly be? That would be a bet on them trading Garrett Wilson.
Yep.
Which isn't the worst bet I would have ever made. It's a little tempting. But also, I'm pretty loaded at receiver. I kind of want a running back.
I have four.
Who's your best one?
I mean, it depends. Do you like Breece? Do you like Joe? Do you like James Cook? You like Nick Chubb?
I definitely don't like Nick Chubb. That's why I put him in your lineup.
Nick Chubb, after this week, I think he's going to be good.
I think the Browns are a bit of a mess. I know that they're going to be less a mess without Watson, but like they're still kind of a mess.
I feel like Chubb, Derrick Henry.
And by
yes.
the way, their OC doesn't like to run the football.
True. That's a great point.
Yeah. It was one thing. Nick Chubb with Bill Callahan?
Yeah.
Sign me up. Nick Chubb with, who is it, Alex Van Pelt? No, it's Ken Dorsey. He replaced Alex Van Pelt. Ken Dorsey? No thanks, bro.
Yeah. Not good.
Ken Dorsey no longer in Buffalo, which makes James Cook a little interesting. I don't know if it's 2-for-1 interesting. Mixon's tempting, but someone make me a trade. My watch hasn't gone off yet. My phone hasn't buzzed. Someone make me a trade offer.
We only got a couple of more weeks too.
Yeah. So I'm willing. Jameson Williams plus someone for someone who's good. Someone needs a quarterback. You're on a bye week. I got Dak. I got Justin Herbert. I got Caleb Williams. And honestly, I'd part with any of them.
It sounds good, man.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of injury news, the official injury report is in for the Commanders on a Thursday. Brandon Coleman did not practice again with a concussion. Jaden Daniels, rib, DNP. We talked about that off the top of the show. Cleveland Furl. This one kind of sucks, Anthony. He was limited yesterday, DNP today. I definitely don't love that. That's not good. You don't want guys to go from limited to DNP. That's the wrong direction. Nick Allegretti, Dorrance Armstrong, Tyler Biadasz, De'Ami Brown, Dante Fowler, Cornelius Lucas, Tyler Owens, all limited. Derek Forrest, don't like this. Participated yesterday, limited today. Often that means the injury happened in practice and he left practice early. So the good news on the safety front is Tyler Owens is getting back. The bad news is Derek Forrest looks like he's going the other direction, so we'll see what happens to him. And then Emmanuel Forbes was also listed. He has a thumb injury. Let me actually check, because the Bears, they've got a couple of key injuries. And I was having a conversation with Dan Wiederman of the Chicago Tribune yesterday, and he is the host of Take the North. And actually, this is a conversation that everyone listening can hear tomorrow in the Take Command feed. Just podcasts that take things, Anthony. That was kind of the running joke, because he's Take the North, which is the Take Command of Chicago, and I'm Take Command. The Take Command of D.C. And I was talking about how special teams could play a big role in this game this weekend, because the Commanders have been really, really good in that realm. Like, they hit the mess out of people. Their return game has been really good. So is there a chance? And he goes, you want to know what? That's actually a really good point. One, Chicago's had a couple of special teams whoopsies. Two, a couple of their top defensive backs have been limited or hurt. Like, one, they have their long snapper has been banged up. He's a full participant for the second straight day. But, you know, a long snapper participating in practice, like, they barely practice anyway. They could go full out the way long snappers practice. But a couple of their top defensive backs are out. And potentially, if they're out for the game, that means some of the guys that are replacement level, that are their top special teamers, are going to have to play more on defense. And then, obviously, you have practice squad-level guys that come up and play on special teams. So I actually wonder. And then, so I look at the practice report today, and sure enough, Jaquan Brisker, who we actually heard Dan Quinn talk about specifically yesterday, he remains out with a concussion. That's not a good sign. Kyler Gordon, who's one of the better nickel players in the league, he remains out with a hamstring. And then Tyreek Stevenson, who also is one of their DBs, and he's had a bit more of an up and down year. He's had some big plays made on him, but he's limited with a calf. So three of their top five, six DBs all out. And then they've got a couple other guys who, you know, like Terrell Smith was limited yesterday. He's a full participant today, but down the roster a little bit. So Chicago's got its own injury issues here across the ball from Marcus Mariota, if he's the one that's playing, that, you know, don't all of a sudden make you feel super warm and fuzzy inside. You know, if like, obviously, one, you don't want to feel warm and fuzzy about other people's injuries because you're a human being and your mom taught you better than that. Two, it's not like it's Montez and Brisker and Jalen Johnson and. But definitely some key guys, Ant, that I think could affect this game.
Yeah, and that would be huge for Washington because, again, we already know the strength of the Bears defense so far anyway. It's been their defense. That's how they've been able to get going while Caleb figures things out. But also just not being able to play with the same guys on the back end, that sort of kind of mess with the communication, and we know how huge that is. So, I mean, I'm not saying, like, you know, I want those guys to be out, but if they're out, I mean, that's a plus for Washington, and, you know, we don't have to stress as much about their defense because we know what their defense is.
I think it's been interesting, too, diving into more of the numbers as we get later in the week, and I do more and more prep for this. Like, they're okay against the run. They're actually not that great. They're actually, like, them and Washington are right next to each other. And Washington's up in the top half now in EPA per play against the run. So they've definitely, you know, kind of settled after some of the early season nightmares in that Baltimore game. But the performance they put on against Carolina, and frankly, even the performance they put on against Baltimore probably helped them because Baltimore had been so good that Washington did better than average against them. And that's what EPA is ultimately about. They weren't great, but they were better than other teams against Baltimore. And they've gotten their way back up in the top half. But Chicago's kind of right there, you know. I think it's like 12 and 13. Washington's 12, Chicago's 13. But a big part of that is Brisker. His ability to be in the box as a safety, kind of like Jeremy Chinn is for Washington. But also, their secondary has been locked down against the pass. They're the second best defense on EPA per play against the pass this year. Part of that's their pass rush has had some success, and they got a bunch of dudes that are winning one-on-ones up front. And two, their DBs have been locked down. And well, if a bunch of those guys are out, well, that seems to change the math a little bit. So we'll see what happens on Sunday. And obviously tomorrow around this time, we should be getting game statuses. So we'll know a lot more then. When we get back, though, as we're live at Capital One Arena, we have for you the first exclusive sit-down here on Wizards Week of this Thursday, the day that the Wizards season debuts on the Team 980. Jordan Poole, this was my favorite interview from Media Day. I thought Jordan was really interesting. One, he was funny, and there was a lot of like funny stuff, but it was also reflective, and there's some good basketball talk. So you'll hear that interview next here on The Hoffman Show. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube, where we have a very fancy For the District background now behind us. So you're welcome. You're welcome for this beautiful blue behind us. And now it's going to disappear because we're going to play for you an interview that we taped back on Media Day with Jordan Poole. It's Wizards Week and it's Wizards Day here on the Team 980. Of course, Dave Johnson, Glenn Consor on the call tonight as the Wizards host the Celtics here at Capital One Arena. And the last time I was here was for Wizards Media Day. And I got to sit down with the Wizards guard who had a pretty rough start to his Wizards career. Really turned things around kind of quietly at the end of last year because nobody was paying attention to the Wizards. And then took that momentum into the offseason and is ready to prove that he's still the guy that a lot of people were hoping he would be when the Wizards acquired him last year. So, one-on-one with Jordan Poole on the offseason and how he takes the second half of last year into a much better version of himself, this one here on the Hoffman Show. With Jordan Poole on Wizards Media Day. JP, what's up, man? How are you?
What's going on, bro? How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Fun to talk to you guys this time of year. You know, everyone's excited. Everyone's getting ready for the season. For you, though, I'm curious. Like, when you were in Golden State, you guys went pretty deep in the playoffs pretty consistently. Your season doesn't end until May or even June.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, you're done in mid-April. What'd you do? Like, how was it weird being done that early?
Yeah, it was a lot of time off. It worked out. I like to travel a little bit in my off season, but I do like to take my time off and rest a little bit, relax. So if you kind of mix those three things up over the course of like 5.5 months. That's really all I've been up to.
Did it hit you like how long the postseason is, not being in it, maybe even harder than it is when you're in it, when you realize like, oh my God, they are still playing?
Yeah. So my first year was COVID. So right. The offseason was a little bit.
Yeah, that doesn't.
That
like,
was like, you know, schedules messed whack. Up a little bit. And then the second year was a shortened season. So we started a little bit later, and then we started either normally or a little bit earlier coming the next season. And then my third year was...
That was the year y'all won it, right?
Yeah, that was the year we won it. So we went all the way into, like, June.
Yeah, it's late
then
June.
Then the second, or the year after that was, like, May.
Yeah.
Middle of May. Because it's probably, like, 2.5-3 weeks for the first two rounds. So. Yeah. This is the first offseason I had that was, like, an extended period of time. I mean, when you get it off, you, like, obviously want to take advantage of it. But, like, I wouldn't plan on trying to have too many of those.
Right.
But it is what it is.
Speaking of the travel, what was your favorite trip that you took there in the offseason? Because it looked, based off Instagram alone, it looks like you had a couple good ones.
Yeah. Amsterdam was new. I've never been to Amsterdam. We were there for a couple of days. That was fire. I wasn't expecting it to be how nice it was. Food was really good. People were cool. I'm like an outdoorsy, like nature type of guy. So just walking around, kind of getting the feel and vibe of a new city. It was good weather. So let's lock in Amsterdam.
Amsterdam, definitely on my list.
Yeah. You haven't been?
I have not. But okay. I did. You and I did share one vacation destination.
Where?
I was in Paris for the Olympics.
Yeah.
Were you there Olympic time or did you
go
before?
No, I definitely wasn't going when there was all them people out there, bro. There's no way, bro.
They did a good job of making it not terribly busy. I will say. They did a good job. Kudos to the French.
I love Paris. Paris is probably a favorite.
What do you love about it? There's a lot to love. What is it that
you love
about
it? The swag.
Yeah.
Just kind of, they just be minding their business. Everybody put real clothes on, but everybody out there on foot, they walking around. It's not like, I'm not going to say it's like super warm and inviting, but it's not like cold shoulder either.
Yeah.
Like people just go about their day out there. So just the vibes, bro. I don't know.
It's great.
Don't let me learn. I'm working on my French. So.
How's that going? Because I tried to learn French.
It's going good. It's going good. I got three players on the team who speak French, so I'll just ask some questions throughout the course of the day, course of the year and stuff. So
who's the most helpful?
Me and Bilal going on year two. Year two is my teacher, but it helps with Keyshawn because Keyshawn is
he's bilingual.
Yeah, fire.
Yeah,
fire.
No, that's,
and then we got mad French people around the facility. I'm not going to lie, so it's hella wee going on in there. Bon travail, all type of stuff.
Yeah, no, it's that would have been helpful. I just was doing Duolingo, and I started
with that, but
didn't. I only got so far.
Yeah, it didn't.
Because I learned Spanish.
La shot is the only thing that I learned, bro. That mean like cat, bro. Yeah, that's it.
Tu manges un orange. Okay, cool. He can eat an orange,
right?
But like how helpful is? Yeah, tu manges un orange.
No, I'm gonna have my French right by the start of the season.
All right, we can make that a mutual goal. If we do this again next year, we'll do part of the interview.
Yeah, and see what we learn.
Yeah.
Okay, bro.
Well,
I like that.
I'll probably be like, bonjour.
Solid. And that's it. I'll just take it from there.
All right. Excellent. All right. That's a good plan. We'll call it a date next year, media day. Anthony, put that in the notebook.
Lock it in.
All right. So I also noticed that tattoo over there, the leg sleeve.
Yeah.
Grew throughout the season from the end of season pictures. I think it was just down on the calf.
Yeah.
What's the tattoo plan here? What?
Just one leg sleeve. I'm done.
That's it.
I'm all done. Right, what'd you, sleeve from top to bottom. I added a bunch of stuff. I added a... Allen Iverson piece. I added Death Note. It's an anime. I don't really watch anime, but I watched that one and it was fire. His name's Ryuk. I got him. I got Denzel Washington on the side. Michigan logo. Barack Obama up top. Clint Eastwood on the side. Bernie Mac in the back.
So these are all like heroes of yours?
On the side. Yeah, more like portrait vibes. Things that I like growing up. I thought were pretty cool.
No, they look great. So
yeah, appreciate it, bro.
Excellent work on that.
Yeah,
I'm sure that hurt like hell.
Oh, yeah, all tattoos are terrible. Anybody tells you that tattoos don't hurt, then
they're lying.
They're capping.
All right, let's talk a little ball. I know, like, the first half of last year for you compared to the second half are two completely different seasons.
Yeah.
My question for you, Jordan, is, like, when you watched yourself on tape at the first part of last year, you're trying to figure out how to get to where you eventually did get. What was that process like of figuring that out on both ends of the floor?
I controlled everything that I could control, like in terms of the positions that I was on the court, you know, minutes that I was playing, the unit that we were out there with, it's only so much you can control with that. I mean, you can be vocal, you can go talk to the coach, you can go have like these conversations, but ultimately, when BK came, he's very familiar with my game. He coached against me my first 4 years in the league, and he knew my style and he knew what I do to be effective, and he wasted zero time on like telling the team that, as well as just like letting me know this is how he wants me to play, which is getting back to my game, being on ball, being aggressive, creating shots for myself, creating shots for others, playing in transition, playing free. And I think we just saw that as soon as he got the coaching change and he made that alter from being off ball to point guard, like everything went back to normal. So it's a learning process. Nothing is supposed to be easy, but it ties into just the fact that we were transitioning. We got a new coaching staff. We got a new front office. They're trying to figure things out. They're trying to figure out what direction they want to go to. It's their first year being in a head position. It's my first year being the lead player. So it was just a lot of transition and things that we needed to, one, like, go through. I'm sure if we all could do it right away and, like, skip that entire phase, I'm pretty sure we would. But it's just a part of the learning process. And definitely makes you tougher. You learn a lot. It was cool. It was a cool experience, man. You got to take everything that comes with the process. You can't just take the highs.
I'm glad you used that word toughness. I'm reading a book right now by a guy named Steve Magnus.
Okay.
It's on toughness. And literally the chapter that I was reading last night talks about how struggle can be a factor in building toughness if you take the right approach to it. So what's something you learned through the struggle that, like, yeah, it wasn't very fun at the time, but that now you're like, oh, I'm a better person, better basketball player because of this struggle that I had?
It's a good question. I'm not gonna say the thing that comes to mind is like stick with it, stay with your routine. But like, I did that. All of that. I think that is where people deter a little bit, is when things get tough, or they're not going how they're supposed to. You want to alter something. You want to change something. But for me, I just stayed consistent through like the tough times. Anyway, you know what I mean, like.
Well, I guess then if it works.
Stick to the process. If it works, then why change it?
Right.
But I can see how at the beginning of the year, how people would think that didn't work. And, like, that wasn't the thing. So just staying with the routine, sticking to what you know, challenging yourself, and then just getting back up, rising to every occasion, showing up every day, being first in, last one out, right? Like, that is more so of a, like, a lifestyle. That's more so of a personality trait than it is a motivation or non-motivational factor. So just sticking with it. Because things are going to turn around. That's not going to always be tough. And, you know, you just take the bumps with the, you know, with the punches you throw.
All right, last question, because they're giving me the rap here. So what this year going into it, you're obviously way more comfortable around the team. You know Will, you know BK, you know the staff, or a lot of the staff. You know the city a lot better. You've been doing a lot of cool stuff, and love to have you back on the show eventually to talk about some of that.
Yeah, definitely. I might have to start popping out and doing some more, like, podcasts with the team, like, local stuff. I've been thinking about it. Me and my PR guy, J Squared.
Yeah, well, tell J Squared to come over here and pay me a visit. We'll have you on whenever. But for you on the court, like, what is success for you this year? That's how we're wrapping up all these chats here on
are we going to go, like, tangible, like, you can actually touch it, or just, like, you know, metaphorical things as well?
We're playing.
Obviously, I would love to get back to the playoffs. We would love to get them to the playoffs. But I think playing is a very reachable, tangible goal for us. But just learning and building a culture and a sense of style, like, to DC, like, a way that we play, right? Like, playing with speed, playing with, like, we're going to get up a lot of threes. We're getting out in transition, have fun. We're going to guard. Bringing, like, a, you know, just like a joy back to the city. We're young, so we're going to have to use the season to learn the things that we need to learn in order to become a good team and be a team that ultimately wants to play in that postseason. But just building, like, an identity, I think that's something that'll be huge for us. And everything else will take care of itself, man. I'm extremely excited about the season. We're going in the right direction. We got some clarity. We got guys who are motivated. We got a young group of guys that are really going to help us this year. Coaching staff, who's locked in, who's focused. It'll be a fun year.
Looking forward to it, yeah. JP. We'll have you back on to talk about all the stuff you're doing.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. That's Jordan Poole, everybody.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. So Thomas Dimitroff was actually on – he was on B. Mitch and Finley? He was on Grant and Danny yesterday. That's what it was. He was on Grant and Danny yesterday talking about – and, of course, Thomas Dimitroff, former NFL executive, including – was the general manager in Atlanta for the Falcons when Dan Quinn was the head coach, and was asked about the Commanders' current status. Of course, they are 5-2. The NFC East looks very, very up for grabs, and the trade market is popping in the NFL. So would former NFL executive Thomas Dimitroff, if he was in Adam Peters' shoes, be looking to be aggressive? And if so, who would he be looking to be aggressive for?
Look, I keep trumpeting this, and I think the Raiders fans are going to be agitated with me, but I know Dan Quinn. I know Dan Quinn loves legit pass rushes. I'm talking game-breaking pass rushes. You know where I'm going with this. To ever see a guy like Max Crosby pushing that to continue to build because, you know, they have a little bit of age on that pass rushing side too, I think that would be an ideal fit. Now, I know everyone in Detroit wants him there, and I think there are people in Atlanta that want him here. But I think the mix, Max Crosby and Dan Quinn, you don't think your city would go nuts over that?
I would imagine that Dan Quinn would be very excited about Max Crosby. Max Crosby is very good. He plays very hard. And that is one where I do think that for the right pick, it would make a lot of sense. So I'm intrigued, but all of this has to be for the right price. Like, okay, the salary cap, they can afford anything. But if you are you talking like a sixth rounder for Max Crosby, done. Do it yesterday. If you're talking a second rounder for Max Crosby, not that interested. Like, you got to be more patient than that. Anthony, curious, what if we have time to say, I don't know, in this segment to play one more soundbite from Thomas Dimitroff. What was the most interesting thing that you think Thomas Dimitroff said to Grant and Danny yesterday that you would hit play on if, you know, you were the producer of an afternoon drive radio show who was fully aware of all the things that Thomas Dimitroff said yesterday to a different afternoon drive radio show?
I would probably be on the trade, you know, front as well. I mean, the Max Crosby one was most interesting for sure. But I think a Denzel Ward to Washington is also interesting. Just because
it's very interesting. Did Thomas Dimitroff talk about Denzel
yes,
Ward
did.
To Washington? Well, let's hear Thomas Dimitroff. I mean, Anthony, I love your opinions, but you, sir, have never been an executive in the NFL.
No.
Thomas Dimitroff has. I think he's won executive of the year before. So what did Thomas Dimitroff have to say about Denzel Ward potentially coming to Washington in that fit?
I also think someone like Denzel Ward would be someone you'd consider. You want to continue to build that pass defense. Maybe a guy like that's available. Keep working on that defense. I know there are people out there wanting maybe a receiver on the offensive side. I think some of the receivers kind of have already gone their own way. I don't know necessarily who that would be on the receiver side. I still would consider it. I think he should be a player given where that organization is right now.
I mean, it makes total sense to me that the Commanders would not, quote-unquote, waste a year of JT Daniels' rookie year. But you don't want to, you know, also, we've talked about this a lot. You don't want to push all your chips in this year. You want to continue to fight in the long term. But if you got a chance, make a move. And I think corner and defensive end, getting a stud at either one would change the dynamic of this defense in such a tremendous way that you frankly have to consider it. And I think defensive end specifically is probably more intriguing to me if you can get a solo pass rusher that can win one-on-ones. Like, again, that is a game changer in such a significant way that you have to make those considerations and what it does for your defense and what it does for everybody on there. But it's actually, Anthony, something that I'm curious to talk about the rest of the week as we get into some of the matchups and stuff. Jordan McGee's presence is really interesting to me this week. You talk about let's add an edge rusher. What if you just move Frankie Louvu more there, not full-time, but more full-time? Because all of a sudden McGee and Wagner can play together? And, I don't know, bringing a rookie in the middle of the year, like, not easy. But if he's ready and that moves Louvu to edge more, Well, that's how you add edge depth from within without having to make any trades, and you still have all your draft picks in the future.
Yeah, and then also I think it makes it the transition for McGee a little easier playing alongside a guy like Bobby Wagner, who's probably going to make it a little bit easier. And then you also got, you know, a nice defensive tackle duo in front of you as well. So I think everybody's been advocating for, you know, the Luvu transition to DN just because we need a little bit more pass rush. And when we've seen him there, he's been really productive. So,
Frankly, like him dropping as a zone player in a zone blitz situation, fine. Him playing coverage, like that's not exactly his jam. So
yeah.
It's going to be interesting. Dan Pizzuta spends a lot of time studying all this stuff, and I am very curious to talk to Dan today. We always are on a Thursday. Dan's going to join us next, our NFL analyst with the 33rd team, who joins us weekly. What does he think this offense can do with Marcus Mariota at the helm? And also, how has Chicago been able to be productive with Caleb Williams at the helm the last couple weeks, and how much of that has to do with some weak opponents that they've played? We'll talk to Dan Pizzuta next, and I have a surprise for Anthony at 5:15. He just is learning about this in real time. He hates surprises, so I'm very excited for this. And then at 5:30, the Wizards head coach Brian Keefe with us here as we're live at Capital One Arena. Wizards Celtics on the Team 980 tonight.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Ralava?
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.